Well, it is a pleasure for me to be here, and thank you very much for the invitation to go and talk a little bit about SAL, this very peculiar process that happened in Portugal between 1974 and 1976. And I would like to begin with a quotation from the architect Nuno Portas, who was the person who was the architect and politician who started SAL. And he said that in the traditional housing system, everything is done when the tenants arrive, and with the SAL program, the tenant arrives before any decision is made. Sorry, this is not working. Thank you. This is an image from the 25th of April, 1974, in Portugal, the day of the revolution that changed the Portuguese history. Well, at a time when ideas of participation are running through the world of art and architecture, it may well prove worthwhile to take another look at some aspects of Portuguese history immediately after the revolution of 1974. In this period, coinciding with major changes in the power structures, both in political, formal, and interpersonal terms, the mutual influence between vindication processes, representative structures, and autonomous organizations accelerated at a staggering rate. In this giddy state, largely driven by tensions within a society that was trying, with countless contradictions and at different rhythms, not to miss the contemporary bus, basic questions of social organization, such as the political and economical models, and emergence of the fundamental rights of the post-war European social state were at play. So born out of this revolution, SAL, in Portuguese, Serviço Ambulatório de Apoio Local, meaning local ambulatory support service, was one of the most compelling processes in 20th century architecture. It was a pioneering experiment in Europe, setting up technical teams, known as brigades, led by architects who, in collaboration with local communities, tried to address the urgent housing needs of the underprivileged communities across the country. From surveying living conditions to supporting resident communities, from the architectural project to monitoring cases of land expropriation, the brigades were reinventing the practice of architecture, designing projects with the residents and not for them. Active until October 1976, SAL was to produce in its 26 months of existence some 170 projects that involve more than 40,000 families from north to south of Portugal, which is an amazing number compared with the population of the country. Portugal had and has around 10 million people. This is the cover of the Time magazine from July 1975 with the military that was leading the revolution, Hotel Saraiva de Carvalho, the Prime Minister and the President of the Republic, and so it was the red threat in Europe by then. And this is the first demonstration in Porto of the first of May 1974. So, although most of these projects were not finished, they were sufficiently stimulating to lead to the rethinking of the relationship between the needy and the right to the city, steering debates in a participatory tension that would affect the thinking about urban planning, the architects' understanding of their role, of their social and political role, and demonstrate the possibility of another type of housing policy than merely being subsumed by the market or the industrialized state policies and relocation. The radical nature of these issues can be gauged by the fact that in many cases, and 40 years later, the question of land ownership of these neighborhoods is still not resolved. Well, all these projects, and there were around 1,000 people between architects, engineers, social workers, and architecture students, they were involved in these brigades. And all these different projects, they demonstrate the contradictions of a process that was decided top-down to be developed and questioned bottom-up. The change in the location of the recipients of the architectural process from those for whom the project was developed to those with whom the architect worked reveals the simultaneously utopic and pragmatic scope of the SAL process. In 1974, Portugal was an isolated country in Europe, facing a long war in the African colonies and dominated by a decaying dictatorship. The country was deeply mobilized by the revolution that occurred in 74. Although led by the military, the revolution opened the door for the several civic and popular movements that were kept in the shadow during the dictatorship, as for the political parties that came out of clandestinity. The years after the 1974 revolution were politically frantic. Those were the times for the independence of Angola, Mozambique, and Cape Verde. The opening of intense debates on the problems of education. Portugal had an illiteracy rate of over 25%. And the housing needs of the enormous number of people living in slums around Lisbon and Porto, the two bigger cities in Portugal. These are images from Porto, from slums in Porto. And the slums in Porto are called ilhas, which mean islands, and they are a very peculiar structure in the city. They occupy parts of the center town in Porto. There are still some ilhas, some still existing ilhas, and there are some ilhas that were gentrified. You will understand better with the project of São Vítor that we are going to see a little bit later on, the structure of one of these islands. So in this period, coinciding with the major changes in the power structures, both in political, formal, and interpersonal terms, the mutual influence between vindication processes, representative structures, and autonomous organizations accelerated enormously. For the architects coordinating the brigades, and the name brigades for these technical teams has a clear political resonance, the desire for political participation combined with almost total commitment and combined also with the scarcity of the market in the revolutionary period, implemented the discussions on the practices of architecture, disciplinary autonomy, and the social responsibility of the architect, namely with consequence on the teaching of architecture. After 2 years of intense change, the elections stabilized the political situation. The revolution had ended with a political military coup in November 1974, and the formal structures of power, both at central and local level, needed to stop political processes that were more deeply rooted in the popular movements. SAL was integrated in the local town halls that needed to adjust urban plans to the needs of the rising market. Besides, SAL process had been at the core of the most radical political and social transformations. The end of SAL was somehow symbolic of the new parliamentary democracy. Some of the projects were simply interrupted, others were continued with enormous difficulty. The SAL process was a unique, complex, and fruitful experience, impossible to synthesize. There is not one SAL. There were as many as there were cases for each intervention, each brigade, and each field of experience. The differences between the different areas of the country made the process also very diverse from region to region. In Porto, where the central structure of SAL was very cohesive, the process was collectively lived in a strong way. The urban structure of Porto, with most of the projects in the historical center, was defined by the so-called ilhas, long-established and highly unsanitary working-class neighborhoods. In Porto, there was, in some parts, a system of the so-called hotbed, meaning that the people rented the houses for the day or for the night. And so they had people who worked during the day rented the house for the night, and people who worked during the night rented the house for the day. The big issue on Saal was the problem of social mobility. How is that that in 1970, a society with an illiteracy rate of over 20% of the male and more than 30% of the female population could create processes and mechanisms to set up the possibility of mobility? How is that a society that could collectively manage the housing shortage, estimated at around 500,000 homes in 1970, with large sectors of the socially and culturally unclassified population living in degraded conditions? These central issues in promoting development, today shelved as the legacy of the memory of the social and economical changes in Portugal, were crucial in the context of the ending of the authoritarian regime ousted in 1974, which had never developed a social policy. In terms of housing, the options were always extremely timid, restricted by the contingencies which left land ownership issues unresolved. For example, the only fund that existed, the Development Fund, part of the strategy for social housing established by the last prime minister of the dictatorship, was only launched in 1968 and was largely modernist. So the issues were housing, building, rehousing, and peripherizing. So there was no response to the complex problem of social housing. The Saal project was the response of the new government born out of the revolution to the housing issue, both politically original and anchored by the way of thinking about housing that had occupied the political concerns of mainly two architects in Portugal, Nuno Teotónio Pereira and Nuno Portas, since the 50s. The result was a political condition in a content state of flux, and Saal was set up by a joint dispatch from the Ministries of Internal Administration and Social Equipment and Environment on 6 August 1974. The aim of the dispatch was to set up multidisciplinary specialist support brigades to help needy communities to solve their housing problems through local organizational structures, followed up by economical support from the Housing Development Fund. The economical structures of Saal is very interesting. So, let's say these are images from Porto. This is the site for a big Saal project that never was built near Porto. This is the interior of these islands. This is the center town of Porto. And the person on the right is Nuno Portas, the person who created Saal. So these are images from the demonstrations of people inside Porto Town Hall demanding that the Saal process would be accelerated to solve their problems. There was a conflict between the local structures of the town halls and the commissions of residents. And sometimes these tensions led to huge demonstrations in the streets. This is an enormous demonstration in Porto. Or permanent debates. This is in the Fine Arts School in Porto in 1975, a meeting with neighbors from several of these commissions and the people that were responsible for the Saal structure in Porto, namely, and also with the architect Nuno Portas. It's another view of the same meeting. Over there, there's one important architect in Porto School, Fernando Távora. And it's very curious to see the collective involvement of people with also building this bringing up this mythology of the revolution in the streets. So this is very interesting. The gypsies from the slums of Matosinhos, which is a small town near Porto, we want houses. We want decent houses, and we have the right to them. And basically, all these demonstrations had to do with the financing system of SAL that was too slow to the speed of the brigades and the relation of the brigades with the people. There is also a very curious connection in these demonstrations between this revolution imagetics and also some kind of religious imagery, like here, for example, transporting the model of a house as if it was in a procession. And this is the big meeting of SAL in 1976. These are posters that were done for demonstrations. And these are images from a very specific situation, which is the need for houses was so big in Portland and Lisbon that there was a system of sublocation that explored largely. This is a series of photographs from a discussion with this woman that had the house sublocated with very, very bad conditions for the tenants. So this is a poster that you'll see also in the film that is passing in the exhibition.
Queremos a queima, escola, um bocado, que nós vivemos. Estamos a viver numa casa que não tem condições, com os filhos a dormir juntamente aos pais, e sem uma retrete, sem condições. Para uma pessoa que quer fazer xixi, olha para fora, também quer fazer xixi. Estas coisas têm algum jeito. Temos no século XX, isto tem algum jeito. Vivemos juntamente aos ratos, isso não é mentira, eu deixo um frasco, um copo com água e um molho de salsa no outro dia, encontro-lhe os caniços, os pés, as folhas, comem o rato todas. De noite é só caganitas de todo o lado.
Estou entulitada por causa daquela água que corre por mim abaixo. E ali estou a ver rataria por cima de mim, as telhas e tudo. E quero andar e não posso por causa da umidade que eu ali apanhei.
Porque se nós tivermos aqui um fogo, a torneira não está em estado de poder ligar uma mangueira para nos correr a apagar um fogo.
Quem não vive cá não pode fazer uma pequena ideia do que isto é.
Well, this was a piece of a documentary made by the Portuguese director Eduardo Geada in 1974 on the biggest slum in Lisbon called Curraleira. Curraleira was the biggest SAL intervention in the country, very ambitious. There were like 10,000 people living there, and this was a community that lived there since the 19th century in those conditions. So it was a very rooted community. This is the project that was done there. Very difficult project. They faced a fire in the middle, perhaps with criminal purposes, it's very interesting that the images that you are seeing, they are from 1977-78. I don't know exactly when this part was already built. And the thing of SAL was that in Lisbon, the people who lived in those slums, they really wanted to live in apartments. They had a kind of bourgeois model that it's what they wanted. So they wanted apartments, which is not the same thing in Porto. In Porto, the situation is culturally and socially different. And so this big project, Curraleira, it was built, part of it, a small part of it. It still exists today. Part of it works very well. So it has this community that takes care of the houses and has a very strong emotional relation to the place, but the problem is that they still, 40 years after this, don't own the land. So they own the houses, but they don't own the land, and that's a problem that is not only in Curraleira, it's a very large problem, and that was never solved in SAL. There are other images from Curraleira, as it was before. And this is an image of the first meeting with the population to discuss what they wanted for the Curraleira project. One of the main issues of SAL was the problem of self-construction. The idea of the architect Nuno Portas was that SAL should be mainly done through self-construction. The idea was interesting because the money that existed to finance the project was very short, and the price for square meter was really very short. So counting on self-construction was one of the possibilities. The thing is that in the heat of the revolution, the problem of self-construction became an enormous issue. There was the so-called theory of the double exploitation. So workers were explored in the factories, and when they got home, they were explored the second time because they were working again instead of resting. And in the left-wing movements, there was a strong vindication of having building companies working for the SAL process, which, of course, made the process much, much slower. The only part of the country where the self-construction process really had a very strong role was in the south of Portugal, in Algarve, where the participatory process was also more strong, more anarchic, and the role of architecture was much less self-important. But we'll get there. So the process was extremely ambitious. It intervened in social fabric from top to bottom, legislative initiative to generate a bottom-to-top social process. As political thinking, it was clearly linked to the revolutionary period, but at the same time was a complex way of understanding the process of change as an alteration in the hierarchical processes of power distribution. In this instance, power was centered on the possibility of creating opportunities to redefine people's circumstances through housing. It would reformulate living conditions, whilst nonetheless maintaining the essential community ties that nurtured neighborhood feelings of mutual help and solidarity, making it possible to establish local organization structures rooted in impoverished communities. The associative movement rapidly expanded, either spontaneously or stimulated by political structures that sprung up, fragmented across a broad spectrum of left-wing movements and trends. If some political forces had a great organizational ability, forged through their long period of resistance to dictatorship, especially the Portuguese Communist Party and the Portuguese Democratic Movement, and some parties of the extreme left, the speed with which the recent party structures were consolidating the form of their hierarchical organization and spreading their networks of influence found highly fertile ground for development. The associative structures of degraded neighborhood communities were SAL's target areas. They were not, nor could they ever be, resistant to this enormous social and political movement of deployed representative democracy. That factor, however, constantly faced an idea of direct democracy that found the embryo of what was experienced as actual popular power structures in local organizations. To this already complex melting pot, the inevitable fragmentation of central government and local power must be added, as well as newer power structures with fluid boundaries coexisting with state administrative structures that in some cases, such as in the administrative division of the municipal council, predated the establishment of the Republic since 1910, has served as the backdrop to the SAL process. This is a key factor in understanding the multiple roles that the SAL brigades were called on to play. In a transitional state with no clearly defined social model, in a country that willingly saw the extreme shrinking of its colonial borders established over the previous five centuries, in what would be the last colonial empire of the 20th century, in a Europe where the Portuguese Revolution took an unmistakably symbolic value and served programmatically and pragmatically to open the way for political transition in Spain and Greece, the architectural issue is one of the aspects of the role assigned to the architects who led the brigades. The brigades were expected to be determinant agents in consolidating the community associations, to carry out a survey, non-existent at the time, of the population's living conditions, to give legal support to the allotment process and the transition of the land ownership, to be social pedagogues, start a sanitization process, be political activists, negotiators, the political vanguard, barriers regarding obsolete council structures, agitators, and listen to the people and their anxieties, absorb their capacity for protest, their dynamics, but also their activism, and integrate them into the project. Ultimately, they were to produce architecture. It seems immense, and in fact, it was, despite the period only lasting a little more than 2 years, after which management of SAL passed over to local councils, and therefore the entire process was suspended by the new power distributions. Let me show you a little film. This is in Porto. This is the Antas neighborhood from the architect Pedro Ramalho. And this is an interesting project, since it was one of the first to continue the logic of those islands. So the islands were perpendicular to the main road structures, and he maintained the same structure. This is how it is right now. And you see it's quite well taken care. Of course, the people change the houses, they adapt it, they transform them. This is the plan. And this is São Vítor. São Vítor is from the architect Álvaro Siza Vieira. And it was because of São Vítor that he was asked to do the Hague project and later on the Berlin project. This is the... jumped the film, I think. No, the film disappeared from the... This is one project by the artist Angela Ferreira, who made this piece on Sal for the exhibition that we made in Serralves and at the CCA, Montreal. But at CCA, this piece was not presented because it was too large for the space. And here it is. The film is here. This film is a film by Filipa César, a contemporary artist, who made this film on Bossa for the Lisbon Architecture Triennial in 2010 on Sal.
Olha, Filipe, se fala o Marcelo Alves Costa, para te dizer que já encontrei a notícia que tinha falado sobre a Bolsa. É muito interessante, porque vem numa página de janeiro de 1968, numa página chamada Casos do Dia. E então as notícias que envolvem a fotografia da Bolsa são assaltos na rua, assaltada a farmácia de Antero Quental, a polícia judiciária deteve dois indivíduos, o crime da Rio do Ovar, furto de 50 garrafas de vinho, abuso de confiança, enfim, tudo isto. E depois, no meio disto, vem a notícia, a dizer, na pressa de construir, nem olhos nem coração. E traz uma fotografia de um bairro da Bolsa incompleto. E diz que é um triste exemplo de uma certa urbanização que ameaça fazer moda. Depois diz que são cubículos, que se ousa chamar apartamentos, começam a ganhar forma como verdadeiras aldeias de macacos. Ora, isto é realmente extraordinário, sobretudo porque agora o discurso é exatamente o contrário. Quer dizer, quando o bairro está completo, os discursos são super elogiosos. Quando esta notícia saiu, fiquei, como deves calcular, muitíssimo irritado com isto, porque isto era um bocadinho do projeto, que ficou incompleto, assim como em todas as operações de sal no Porto aconteceu isto. E eu, nesta altura, fiquei tão irritado que eu propus a demolição de tudo que era sal para apagar da memória definitivamente aquela desgraça, porque realmente só estava a servir. Como se era um sinal perverso, digamos, em relação àquilo que são os projetos. Este ataque que é feito neste jornal vem na sequência de ataques mais diretos. A própria sede do serviço foi atacada com uma bomba, o meu carro explodiu, enfim, e outras situações de ataques terroristas de direita, de que ninguém fala neste momento. Eram tipos ligados a uma certa indústria recente, eram forças policiais, eram políticos de extrema direita, alguns deles que estavam refugiados em Vigo, não é? Eles foram para Vigo, muitos alguns deles, e constituíram lá uma espécie de uma célula que organizou os ataques. Pronto, tu farás da notícia aquilo que entenderes. Eu acho-a particularmente interessante porque é paradigmática deste processo todo. E pronto, espero que te corra bem.
A voz que, the voice that you've been listening to is from, it was from Alexandre Alves Costa, who was one of the persons that was responsible for Sal in Port, and he mentions this episode of a bomb that made his car explode, and he was not killed because he was 2 minutes late, and that was his luck. Well, these are images from Sal in Algarve, from one of the most emblematic projects of Sal in Algarve. You see the relevance of architecture here is much less self-important, but it is still there, although in a part of the country subjected to enormous pressure in terms of real estate development. And I just wanted to make a small comment about this. Perhaps the main thing in Sal was the question of finding a certain architectural performativity as a negotiating process, and it was also the problem of developing the idea of the architecture's recipient, whose dignity was part of this performative process. It should also be noticed that the needy communities coming together in associations were a historically silenced group, absent from the process of building the city, residents set off to a non-condition. Their being recognized as negotiating agents of a transformation process, their status as clients playing an essential and dynamic role in the process, involved in making choices and raising issues about the design, builds a specific service performance as well as a performance of less self-important architecture. This is a major factor in the understanding of Sal because it establishes a name for the practice of architecture, clearly identified by Manuel Castells, the Catalan sociologist and academic, as a collaboratory field based on the pedagogy of demand. This was probably the most important meaning of the participatory issue throughout the Sal process. Developing a performative point of view on the various agents of the architectural process, on the multiple layers of meaning that the term can reveal. This performative can also be seen as a location with transformative potential, as formulated by the British philosopher Austin, both in the representation and the performance sense. Whichever meaning we choose, it is a question of producing a process that can reshape itself at any time. So, just I leave you with a very famous film from António Cunha Teles on precisely shot in Meia Praia in Algarve, where you saw those images.
Agora estou no palco. Há dezenas de anos que andam com a casa às costas. Nesta aldeia, os meios de produção, os barcos e as redes pertencem aos trabalhadores. Muitas vezes a um velho pai, mas todos vivem em barracas. Não há diferenças entre estes pescadores. A exploração atinge-os por igual. A luta pela sobrevivência criou hábitos de solidariedade em que o pão incerto para todos é mais importante que o supérfluo para alguns. As classes privilegiadas, através das suas estruturas, sempre subpagaram o produto do seu trabalho, impondo-lhes uma vida quotidiana dura e sem condições. O peixe vem depois a ser vendido bem caro a outros trabalhadores da cidade e do campo.
Deixa a menina, João Paulo!
Anda!
Ok, thank you.
Thank you very much, Delphine, for this very broad and at the same time accurate account. The collective ownership or the cooperative model behind it, you have not really explained in detail.
No.
Would be interesting maybe to have like two words, and then I would like to.
Okay. So the first, the communities organized in committees. The next step was being organized in associations. And some of them, not all, some of them were organized afterwards in cooperatives. The idea of the person who established SAL, Nuno Portas, was to improve this cooperative model. It was for him the only way to establish the ownership of the land. And he was right, because all those who didn't make cooperatives, now they are facing the problem of not owning the land, and they are exposed to real estate development plans that appear everywhere in Portuguese cities. So the cooperative solution was perhaps the more sophisticated one in terms of the guarantee of the rights of the tenants, but it was only improved in a very small number of associations.
Which is a problem now.
A problem now, yes.
Now, you said that there was some kind of incompatibility, or there is an incompatibility between the development of the parliamentary democracy in Portugal after 1976 with the model of the SAL. And this, of course, if we take it a step further, makes us ask a broader question. Is there a problem of cooperatives in parliamentary democracy, or do you think that there would have been solutions on a more pragmatic level?
The thing is that the cooperative movement was very linked in Portugal to the so-called left-wing Christians of the 60s. And the extreme left parties, they were completely against the cooperative model, because the cooperative model was a too much structured model for the revolutionary process. So the tendency of some SAL leaders was not to improve the cooperative model, because the committees or the associations, which were much more fluid structures that could fit much better into this frantic moment of the 2 years of revolution. Of course, there is, sure, an incompatibility between the SAL process and parliamentary democracy. Only in a moment when power structures are floating and the hierarchies are being bounced permanently, this process could be made, involving suddenly 1,000 technicians, 40,000 families, making 170 projects in 26 months, it is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And so it only can be done with this in this moment of extreme social and very, very fast social change. So parliamentary democracy tended to cool down the power tensions and tended to normalize the social relations. And so a project like SAL was the victim of parliamentary democracy.
Yes. Which kind of like points to a general, more generalized problem that we face everywhere in the West, which is that the parliamentary democracy is so intrinsically linked to the market economy that it hardly allows for alternative models of ownership.
There's something to learn from Sal, and that's a debate that now with the exhibition that was done in Porto and with the debate that was done in the university in Coimbra and also in Serralves in Porto. The problem of what can we learn from Sal? Yeah, that was the what can we learn from Sal? And for sure, one of the things that can be learned from Sal, there are two main things to be learned. One of them is a way of thinking social projects without dislocating communities. So all those projects were done maintaining communities in the place where they lived. And that was one of the challenges, and of course, one of the guarantees that SAL would stop sooner or later. But that was a very important issue in SAL. The second was the financing of the operation. So the state had a fund, and the fund was managed by an agency and would give the money through the technical brigades, through the technical opinion of the brigades, to the associations or cooperatives for them to build, and they would pay the brigade, not directly the state. And so they were really the clients.
Yes.
So the state was not paying directly to the architects. Well, the communities were paying to the architects. And this system of financing, if it was followed, of course, with changes and modifications, most of the problems of urban planning in Portugal would not exist as they are felt right now. And for sure that the historical centers of town would not be totally deserted during the 80s and 90s and then totally gentrified and all that. So there is something to learn in the financial system, also something to learn in this idea of not dislocating communities.
Yeah. So it's a prototype still.
It is a prototype anyway.
So we would like to ask you, the audience. I hear we don't have not even time for that anymore. So I don't see any question either. So
this participatory moment was not very intense.
We have to renounce this. Okay.
There are two people there that want to say something.
There's one. Someone. Well, one. We have to get one.
Okay. Hi. Thank you. Very much. I'd like to ask you on the labor issue that you raised. You mentioned the question of the critique of double exploitation.
Exploitation, yes.
That's a very important discussion. It was a very important discussion in Brazil as well, where I come from. But it was first a critique meant to refer to the suburbs, to the periphery, what we call the periphery. Most of Brazilian cities were self-built, and that was clearly a second form of exploitation. So besides being exploited at work, there was this second level of exploitation. But the discussion is, does that critique fit this kind of experimental of new kinds of labor that are meant towards some kind of emancipation, or it's just about informal city and the dominant form? And then, so I would be glad if you could discuss Sal from that perspective. If it's a kind of labor that is just unpaid labor, or there was a discussion of something else, some kind of critique of conventional division of labor.
Listen, that would be an immense discussion. I've made a list of different political positions in the left in Portugal during 1975-76 about the problem of the double exploitation for self-construction. And I made a list of 9 different positions. So basically, and the solution that Sal was given was a very interesting solution, because in some cases, the self-construction was paid. So the labor was also paid by the cooperative or the association. And that would be a way of increasing the income on one side, and on the other side, to make a counterpoint to that double exploitation situation that, mainly the Trotskyists and the Maoists were very incisive on that point. Let me say that, for example, in Algarve, all the projects were done with self-construction, and that problem was never raised. But in Porto, for example, that problem was on the top of discussions, because that was the opinion of Alexandre Alves Costa, who was leading the SAL operation, well, one of the leaders of the SAL operations in Porto. So the subtleties of that discussion are enormous. And they vary from situation to situation, and from the relation that was established between the associations or the cooperatives, the brigades, and the political power.
Thank you very much, Delphine. We have to finish now, although it's a discussion that will go on forever.
Gibt es einen kleinen Umbau, aber wir werden das ohne Pause weitermachen. Der letzte Beitrag in dieser Runde vor der nächsten Pause stellt das vierte 1:1-Modell der Ausstellung dar. Das ist die Kollaboration zwischen Stille Straße 10 und Assemble Architects.